The US is using two prongs, two different avenues in its interaction with Niger right now. One is the diplomatic and the other is the military. And as a result, we see a representative of the State Department there and also a representative of the Defense Department in the form of the head of the U.S. Africa Command, Michael Langley. But what that also says is that the U.S. is trying to use its diplomatic tools to try and reestablish democracy and dialogue within the country, given that it's now led by a military government. But on the other hand, the U.S. has strategic and military concerns in Niger, which is part of the reason why we have the head of the U.S. Africa Command also present.
The junta took a hard line against former colonial power France, forcing the withdrawal of French troops in place for nearly a decade. Niger's military, which has worked closely with the United States, has not demanded a similar pullout of U.S. forces. How do you explain that?
Number one, a historical memory that in Niger and in the Sahel more broadly and in Francophone Africa, we tend to see this wave of anti-French resentment where countries are now reclaiming their full sovereignty. And this is part of the situation we see with why France was being asked to leave from Niger by the Nigerian authorities. We saw a similar situation in Mali also with the ambassador being expelled, but the U.S. representative have been left. So this tells us that the Nigerians are actually realigning their strategic partners in terms of de-emphasizing France, but re-engaging with the United States. I might also lastly add that in relation to this element of disengaging from France, there's been a big debate in Niger and in the three Sahelian countries, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, about removing the region from the CFA. That means that linkage of their currencies with France, which is another element of how these countries, including Niger, are trying to remove themselves from the control of France. And now it looks that the U.S. will continue to play an even bigger role in terms of the domestic and security interests of Niger going forward.
ECOWAS leaders had agreed to lift economic sanctions against the Republic of Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Guinea. Following the ECOWAS agreement, Nigerian president has directed the opening of Nigeria's land and air borders with the Republic of Niger and the lifting of other sanctions against the country with immediate effect. What message would these developments send to coup leaders in Africa?
I think it sends the message that coups are okay, that coup leaders can get away with democratic backsliding, military leaders can get away with bad behavior. Because we see in Niger, where an elected civilian government, it has been overthrown by a military junta, and it seems that military junta is now being rewarded by sanctions being removed. In terms of the coup leaders, it also shows them, secondly, that if they band together, they can get away with unconstitutional and illegal acts like coup d'etat. In the case of Niger, we saw Niger get together with Mali and Burkina Faso in the Association of Sahel States. So they banded together as rogue actors within ECOWAS, and they were actually able to overcome the threats of intervention from ECOWAS. But I think lastly, it really raises big questions about the norms and democratic ideals that ECOWAS as an association and Nigeria as the heavyweight in the region, whether ECOWAS really stands by its norms, because democratic governance, human rights, and the rule of law are at the center of the ECOWAS charter. And in this case, we see the Niger military actually misbehaving, going against those regional norms, but they're now being rewarded by sanctions being removed. I think one other point I'd also like to add is with Ramadan, there's also a bright light, even though these actions might appear to be rewarding the military dictators, because many times we know when countries are hit with sanctions, it's not the elites that suffer. It's not the military leaders. It's the poorest of the poor. So also in another element, I think removal of these sanctions from Niger will actually ease the pressure on the poorest in the population, because during this holy month of Ramadan, they'll be able to access, you know, basic goods and services that in many cases became out of their reach because of the sanctions.